God leaves us His church that is preparing for His Son's return back to this earth. And the Day of Trumpets is much about announcing that return of God's Son. So that will be the subject today, trumpets and its announcing. And it reveals to us, God's church, about events that will lead up to His return back to this earth. And it lets us know what takes place at His return. And it also lets us know about the end. The end of man's rule. And that is when this part of God's plan for mankind is complete. When man's rule has come to an end. So this is all encompassed in the Day of Trumpets. And it's announcing about those events that will take place. And at its completion, all that will be Elohim will be spirit beings for all eternity. So let's go back to Leviticus 23. And it's where God gave us instructions about how to keep this holy day. And it tells the God tells the ministry that we are to speak on these things, on these holy days and their meaning every year in their season. So we will go back today to Leviticus 23 and verse 23. The Eternal spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel saying, in the seventh month on the first day of the month, you will have a Sabbath rest." And let's notice, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. So what this is saying is that we are to remember what this day is about, this day of trumpets. And we are to reflect upon it on this day. God says that it is a holy convocation. And it says that we are to do no customary work upon it. And we should offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. So it is a holy day, and we understand what this is saying, as we do have trials, and sometimes those trials are not so easy. So that's the reason it is said the way it is said. So God gives you and me instructions about how we are to observe this day. We are to not work on this holy day, and God says it is a memorial of blowing of trumpets, plural. So we come before our God with our offerings on this day, as is our custom. And we are to be reminded and we are to remember what this day of trumpets is all about. We know that in 2008, all of the trumpets, all seven, were blown, which has very much to do with this day of trumpets, with the meaning of this day of trumpets, as it is about the announcement to the church of God that is preparing for the return of God's Son back to this earth, and that return is now imminent. We know that the first four trumpets of the seventh seal is about the fall of the United States of America. We can see the condition of this world. All we have to do is turn on the TV, and all you hear is war. And we can see all of the nations that are against this nation, this United States at this time. We can see China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. And we can see how they actually despise this nation. We see them flexing their muscles now. And we hear the threats from China and North Korea, Iran, and now Russia that are being made against this nation. A few weeks ago, China was threatening to shoot down the plane of one of our leaders as they were traveling to Taiwan. So we can see by these events that are taking place that time is getting short. We see the military buildup that is taking place, especially from China and Russia. And we know that this will lead to World War III. We know that the events of the first four trumpets, when they take place, will bring about the downfall of this nation, the United States. And we understand that this nation will be the first to fall. And when the downfall of this nation takes place, the fifth trumpet and its events will take place. And then we will see the nuclear weapons light up the sky. And it will not be pleasant for mankind upon this earth when that fifth trumpet and its events take place. The day of trumpets is about announcing the things that must come to pass. And God used trumpets in ancient Israel. And He uses trumpets for you and me, those of us in God's church, to announce the events that must take place. Let's turn over to the book of Daniel. And we will go back today and read about the events that God revealed to Daniel a long time ago. And we will look as we go through this, and we can see God in the events that are about to take place. Much was revealed in the book of Daniel about the events will take place through time. And it all began with a dream that the king had. And the king's dream was about a great statue that the king saw in a dream. And it disturbed the king, and he wanted to know the meaning of that dream and what that dream was about. And in Daniel chapter 2 in verse 26, So this is when Daniel was called to come before the king. And as we go through this, we can see the effects of some of the trumpets that will be used through time. And we can see God's hand in all of this as we go through this. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen in the interpretation?" So Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and he said, "The secret which the king has demanded," and he had demanded those from the astrologers and so forth, from the wise men, the magicians, the soothsayers, and they could not declare it to the king. So none of these could answer what this dream was about. And Daniel said, "There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he will make known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be." And let's notice what is being said to the king and what it's about, the time frame. It says, in the latter days. So that's the time frame that you and me live in today. The latter days. So we can see that God was revealing what was planned for the future of mankind. And we will see what we have been hearing in the sermons and how everything was planned out beforehand. God did not make it up as He went along. God had a plan from the beginning, and we'll see that as we go through this. God was revealing what would take place down through time to the king. And it's a picture that has been painted for us, the church of God. God had a plan from the beginning, as I said, and this is where we can see the future by what was revealed through Daniel to the king. So we, you and me, will be able to see God in this picture, as He was revealing to the king what would take place through time. We can see that God had it all planned out, what would take place in time, by what we will go through. So this day of trumpets is much about the announcements of the events that are about to take place in God's plan for mankind. And it will bring us up to the end of mankind's self-rule. Daniel said, "Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these, As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed, while he was sleeping, about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. So Daniel is letting him know that it was not coming from him. But for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart or of your mind. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet are partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. So we can see the events of the trumpets in the explanation that was given. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So you and me, God has given us the ability to see God's hand in all of this that He revealed to the king. We in God's church know exactly what this is saying about that stone that struck the image. We know exactly what is being spoken about. We know it is about the return of God's Son back to this earth to set up God's kingdom upon this earth, and also to set up God's government upon this earth. Verse 36. Daniel told the king, "Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven," let's notice, it's God letting him know, "has given the kingdom." It's God that let him have that kingdom. And that's what's being said. "The power, the might, the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the sons of men, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, making you rule over them all." So God says, you are this head of gold. So God is letting the king know that it is by God's power, not by the king's power, that all these things were given to him. Nebuchadnezzar was the world ruling power, and we can see by what was revealed through Daniel. So now comes what takes place after his kingdom. God is telling them about the future and also telling you and me about the future with much more understanding than he gave to the king. God has given to you and me so much more understanding of his plan for mankind. Verse 39. "After you will arise another kingdom inferior to you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth." So now it's showing us down through time, and we will see the effects of the trumpets as we go through Daniel's explanation from God to the king. And there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks into pieces and shatters all things. And like iron which crushes, it will break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron will be in it. Just as you saw iron mixed with the miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, so they will mix with one another. It says in marriage, but we understand what this means. That they will come together in agreement for a short while, and they will do what they are supposed to do. But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. So we can see that this will be a fragile union that takes place to do what they were designed to do at the end. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. So we can see trumpets. And we can see the effects of those trumpets. And we can see God's hand in all of this. Nor shall its sovereignty be left to other people. It will break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end. And so it will stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hands, that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will be hereafter. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. So the great God of this universe has let us know, just as well as the king, with much more knowledge than he was given, that was given to the king, what is going to take place in our future. We have such much more understanding than any that have lived down through time, brethren. We are the ones that is preparing for God's Son to return back to this earth. We know that the fifth trumpet is the time that Europe will bring to pass what was written by Daniel. We know that the ten nations, the ten toes that Daniel spoke about, and we can see it going together in Europe. We can see it taking place. We see China. We see Russia. We see Iran. This is about to have a nuclear weapon if they don't already have it. North Korea. All of them are threatening. And the ten toes that will come together. We know that a war with Europe is going to take place. And one third of mankind will die when this takes place through the events of the sixth trumpet. And the meaning of the Day of Trumpets is about the announcing of war. A battle of war, World War III war that is coming. And also, there's war that will take place at the end that we will read about also. And trumpets is the announcing of those things at the end. All the trumpets. All seven of them is about announcing. Trumpets is about telling God's church what is ahead. The Day of Trumpets is about the announcing of God's Son back to this earth to bring peace to mankind. And just as the king was shown what would take place, God is showing you and me, his church, what will take place in our future. It may be like looking through a dark glass, but we can see the overall picture. God has painted you and me, his church, that picture. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 and drop down to verse 12. We understand that verse 12 is about the two witnesses. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here, and they ascended to heaven in a cloud. So this event takes place. And then in verse 14 we find, we know that God's Son is getting ready to return to this earth and set up God's government upon this earth. And next we see, it says, the second woe is past. And let's notice what is said next and how it is said. that the third woe is coming quickly. We understand that this woe is much about what takes place at the end. We understand that at the end of the 100 years is when the completion of the third woe will take place. And we will read about that as we go through. And it's when so many will not want what God will offer them. God says it will be as the sands of the sea that will enter that lake of fire. But back to the time when the seventh angel sounded, the events of that trumpet, we understand that all of them have sounded, but this is about their effects. Verse 15. We know that the seventh trump is when God's kingdom will be proclaimed. And it says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign from now and forevermore. We look so forward to when this will take place, this event. We understand that it is at the return of Joshua the Christ back to this earth, and then the beginning of the third woe. We understand that the final completion of that woe takes place at the very end. All of the trumpets announces God's plan to us, His church, His people. And once that seventh trumpet takes place, those events, and God's Son returns, it will now take 1,100 years for God's plan for His family to become spirit beings, to become Elohim. Then we understand it will be peace forever. And Daniel, with the king, painted that picture to us down to the time where there would be peace forever. It was an overall picture of God's hand in everything that will take place. We know that Christ is going, what He is going to do when He returns. We understand, and we will read about this event as we go through this. We understand that many will not accept what God will offer them. We know that that will take place during the millennium and into the great white throne and through the 100 years. It's hard to comprehend, but we know what is written. And that's where that final completion of that third woe will take place at the end. We understand about the lake of fire that is at the end. God says that there will be gnashing of teeth. And we understand why. They will be no more. And it is merciful what God will do and how He will do it. Never to have life anymore. And they are gone forever. Poof, like a puff of smoke. And now it will only be those in God's family composed of spirit life. We know that the seventh trump is when God will begin to rule this whole earth. This is when God sends His Son back to this earth. And then peace can begin to be brought to mankind for the next 1,100 years. And then real peace will take place. We understand that peace can only come through God's plan. So we will see what is happening at God's throne. God has now intervened in the lives of mankind. And now mankind will begin to have peace forever when it is all said and done. This is that beginning. But now peace will begin at the millennium. That's when it will begin. And only at the end will it be interrupted for a short space of time, as we know. We know that man cannot find peace. We know that peace has eluded mankind for 6,000 years. And it has always ended in war. That is man's history. War after war through time. So mankind has proved that he cannot rule himself. by what has taken place through time. And it is only by God's Son coming back to this earth that man will be able to find peace. And the Day of Trumpets is about the announcement and their fulfillment that peace can be established forevermore. So peace for mankind will begin with this seventh trumpet. Verse 16, let's notice what is said and what takes place. And the 24 elders, let's notice where they were, who sat before God on their thrones, fell on their faces and worshiped God. And this is what they were saying. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Let's notice why. Because you have taken your great power and reigned. And let's notice what he said next. The nations were angry. And that's what happens in war. War brings about much anger. It says the nations were angry. We understand that that anger will be against God's Son as He returns to this earth. And it says, and your wrath has come. It's better said, I guess, is judgment. Your judgment has come. And the time of the dead and that they should be judged. That's what it's about. God explains it here. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints. So this is what will take place. And those who fear your name, small and great, and will destroy those who destroy the earth. So this is the time that Christ comes back with the 144,000. To begin to establish peace upon this earth. To end those wars that have plagued mankind. And this one is the greatest of all. The one that could annihilate every living thing upon the face of this earth if God did not intervene. And that is the announcement of a trumpet. That an event has to take, this event has to take place, brethren, to begin to bring peace to mankind. We find this event in Revelation 19, when this peace will begin to be brought to this earth, the beginning of peace. Revelation chapter 19. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 19 and let's read about this event and how it takes place. Verse 11, Revelation 19, verse 11. We know that this is John speaking about what he saw. And John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, let's notice, he judges. So it's about judgment and makes war. And with this war, it is a woe to mankind that has been destroying this earth. And it is the Day of Trumpets that we are here celebrating, that we come before our God and learn about the events of these trumpets. And it is at the seventh trumpet that Christ will return to this earth. And is this announcement to us about a war that Christ and the 144,000 will partake of. And it says, they will destroy those who are destroying this earth. Verse 12, a description is given by John. And this is how he explained what he saw. How could you put in words what John saw about this event? But John was allowed to see it, and John had to explain it. And this is how he put it in words. John wrote, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he would strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. So we understand this in what is being said, that it's Joshua Christ and the 144,000. And they will have to do this to begin to bring peace to mankind. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, the judgment of God, better said. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John said, the army is in heaven. We understand this is the 144,000 that are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We understand this analogy. We understand that they are in God's family. They have now become Elohim. And that's why it's said this way. We know this is symbolic of what takes place. And it's the way that John explained it. And we understand what this is saying to God's church, because it is spiritual explanations to you and me. It's about the spiritual events for the church of God that will take place. And he said, I saw an angel standing in the sun. And let's notice, he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven. So this is pretty graphic. Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men. So this is pretty graphic. And the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who sits upon the horse and against his army. So the seven trumpets at the seventh seal of Revelation announces the things that must happen in order to bring an end to mankind's self-rule. Ezekiel 39 tells us. So let's turn over there. Let's take time and turn over to Ezekiel chapter 39. I was going to just read this, but let's turn over. Ezekiel 39 and verse 12. Ezekiel wrote about a time when it will take 7 months to bury the dead. So in verse 12, 7 months the house of Israel will be burying the dead in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will become famous for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord God. They will set apart men regularly employed, will be their job, and with the help of a search party, they will pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, let's notice, at the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he will set up a marker by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley. So we understand that there will be much death at the return of God's Son back to this earth. And we understand that at the end there will be much death also. So the announcements of the trumpets is much about this, these events. We know what God says, that there will be so many at the end. We understand that the Feast of Trumpets has everything to do with the announcement of God's Son and the events that will take place at His return. We understand that the uses of the trumpets in ancient Israel was used. We know they were used physically. For us, it is used spiritually. But for them, it had many uses. They had the silver trumpets that they used. Trumpets was used to call them to an assembly. And it was used to give them directions. And it's the same for you and me spiritually. It gives us instructions. It gives us directions how we are to live our lives. Trumpets was used to sound an alarm for them. And it was an alarm of war. And it is to you and me as well. It's an alarm of war. And we can see it. We see that war coming. So it's sounding an alarm for you and me about the events that are going to take place. The Day of Trumpets is about the announcement of a third war. A third world war that is coming to this earth. And it will not be long before it takes place. We can see it coming. So trumpets has so much meaning for you and me, the Church of God, that is preparing for the return of God's Son to this earth. Another use of the trumpets was to announce a time of rejoicing. So when we get through the pain and suffering, we understand that it will be a time of great rejoicing for those that will become Elohim, when peace will finally be here for an eternity. It's also a time of rejoicing for you and me to know about Joshua the Christ coming back to this earth. And as we just read, as King of Kings this time, it's about this announcement that brings about the rejoicing to know that the time for this event to take place is very near for you and me. It's a time of thankfulness to God for letting you and me know what this day is about. It's good to be reminded of the uses of the trumpets, because it applies to you and me on a spiritual plane. So it is a time of rejoicing for you and me on this Day of Trumpets, for those of us in God's church, even though we have to go through much horror. And it's also a time of thankfulness for us, for letting us know, for God letting us know what this day is about. So it was used to declare a time of rejoicing as well. The trumpet was called to assembly, as we know, for ancient Israel, and to listen to those directions that were given. So it's the same for you and me in the Church of God. We are to listen to the directions so we will know when to turn right or when to turn left. So it's spiritual for you and me, spiritual directions. It was used to sound an alarm primarily about war, as we know, about them being attacked. For us, it's about the announcement of that war. We understand that the Feast of Trumpets has everything to do with the future of God's church. It lets us know that future. And all of us should be rejoicing about what God has given us to understand about His Son, and it's on the horizon. All that holds back His return is the final sealing of the 144,000. That's all that holds it back. That's where we are in time. We know that when the events of those four trumpets begin to take place, we know that this world will be shaken like it has never been shaken before. Never been a time like this when it takes place. Mankind has never experienced a nuclear war. But nuclear weapons are coming to be used. And they have never been, just on a small scale, I think it was called the atomic bomb. Nothing. And that is just something that would be used to ignite what we have now. But they have never been used to the effect like they will be used in the future. So let's turn back and look at some of this. Let's go back to Judges and take a look about some of God's servants and what they had to do and what took place. Because trumpets was used for them too. So let's go back to Judges chapter 7. We know this event by heart. And I was going to just reference it. But let's go back and look at the event. And it's about Gideon, chapter 7 and verse 9. We know this story. And the Eternal said to Gideon, go down against the camp, and let's notice what God said to Gideon, for I have delivered it into your hand. And this is the event where we understand about the fleece that Gideon had God do. So we understand that Gideon was not that confident. And I'm sure he was afraid, and I'm sure all of us would be too, to be asked for what he had to do, to go against an army with just a handful of men. So God's servants have had to do some awesome things. God had Moses pick a snake up by the tail. And my mind cannot go there. And I cannot imagine doing such a thing as that. So God told Gideon in verse 10, if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you will hear what they're talking about. And afterwards your hands will be strengthened to go down against the camp. And down in verse 15, we know what took place. It's when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, in its interpretation that he worshiped God. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, the Eternal has delivered the camp of Midian into our hands. That's what he told them. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet, let's notice, a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Just like you and me are to listen to our instructions. And Gideon was giving them instructions of what to do. And I'm sure they were afraid for what they were about to have to do. When I come to the edge of the camp, you will do as I do. So they were to follow those instructions. And let's notice, when I blow the trumpet. So we can see how trumpets was used for Gideon. And all who are with me, then you will also blow the trumpets. And on every side of the whole camp, and say, the sword of the Eternal in Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. And just as they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. So they were making a lot of noise, brethren. And they broke those pitchers, and it looked like a lot of fire coming down that hill. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. So we can picture that, all that fire and all that noise coming down that hill. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Eternal and Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. So we can see the effects of those trumpets that were blown in the time of Gideon. When those 300 men blew those trumpets, the Eternal set every man against himself and his companions throughout the whole camp, and they all ran. They all fled. So let's turn over to Joshua chapter 6. It's a parallel for the end time in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 1. And the events are very similar to what will take place in our future. Now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, because they were afraid of the children of Israel. And if we remember those stories, they had right to be afraid. They had heard those stories. They had heard about the great God of this universe and how He had delivered them out of slavery. They had heard about how Israel was marching through the land and they were destroying all those that were before them. How God was giving them victory upon victory. So they had a right to be afraid. And so they had shut that city up so that no one could go in and no one could come out. And let's notice what God said to Joshua. Same thing He told Gideon. I have given Jericho into your hand, just like God told Gideon. God has told you and me that same thing, that He will deliver us at the end into spirit life for an eternity. That's what God has promised you. God has told you He has delivered that into your hands. And it says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You will march around the city, all of you, men of war. You will go around the city once, and you will do it for 6 days. We know these stories. But today we are focusing on trumpets and how they were used. Seven princes will bear, let's notice, seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the seventh day you will march around the city seven times. We know the story and we know the parallels that will be there at the end as we go through it. And we can see God's hand in every bit of this because of how it was done. The priest will blow the trumpets and it will come to pass when they make a long blast. A long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear it, let's notice. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat. Verse 15. Comes to pass on the seventh day that they rose early. This is what they were told. That would happen. Those walls would fall down. So this is the seventh day. And they rose early. About the dawning of the day, they marched around the city seven times. So for the first 6 days, they went around the city just once. Now on the seventh day, they went around it seven times. The examples are different, but it's very much the same about what will happen at the end. We saw what God revealed to the king. And God showed from His time forward to the end. And we can see it here even with Joshua. The seventh trumpet and the seven last plagues will be here. So the story is very much about what will happen at the end. Those announcements that are being made to God's church is about deliverance. We understand that deliverance is coming and it's coming quick. And we will be delivered from man's world into God's world. So we can see the analogy that is here, deliverance. So when the priest blew those trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Eternal has given you the city. And it will be the same at the end. When all that will be in the kingdom of God, God's city, the city of peace. So when the priests blew those trumpets, when they heard the sound of the trumpet, they shouted with a great shout. And that wall fell down flat, just like God told them it would. So when we understand about Babylon and that system that we have, that is here at the end. So when God talks about that system falling, about Babylon falling at the very end, These are good examples for you and me in the church of God. So we know by the announcement of these trumpets that Babylon will fall. It's what God has said will take place, just like those walls fell flat for Joshua. And when that angel shouts at the end, it speaks about Babylon falling and lets you and me know what God is doing by the announcements of these trumpets. And we can see God's hand in all of these stories that we have read, all these accounts. We know that Babylon will fall because God tells us it will. God told you and me that man's rule will come to an end. Just like He told Gideon. Just like He told Joshua. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And verse 2. And it's speaking about an angel. And let's notice. That cried mightily. That's the way it's written. So let's see what's taking place. With a strong voice. So this is very loud. Saying Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. So we can see the example of Jericho. And it's a good example because the Babylonian system will fall down, just like those walls of Jericho fell down flat. Let's notice 19, verse 19. We know that mankind will not want to see this system go away. They love this Babylonian system. They love it. So let's notice what they do. They throw dust upon their heads and they cried, let's notice, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." Verse 20. The announcements of the trumpets is about rejoicing. And let's pay attention to what is said here. "Rejoice over her, O heaven and you." Let's notice to who? "Holy apostles and prophets. For God has avenged you on her." Verse 24. "In her was found." Let's notice what was found. Because we don't always focus on what this system has done to God's people. So let's pay attention to what was found in that Babylonian system. The blood of prophets and saints. And all of those who were slain upon the earth because of that Babylonian system. So we can see why rejoicing is taking place. And I know that thankfulness is taking place because of the falling of this Babylonian system that has finally come to an end. In just my time, my wife and I's time in the Church of God, there have been so many that have walked side by side with us, and they are no longer here. And I know those that came through apostasy knows that feeling. And it's been like walking through the fields of the dead, those dead bodies. And when it comes to being thankful, those of us that came through the apostasy, I think all of us have a different view of thankfulness and rejoicing. I think only those that have come through that apostasy and those that experienced the spewing out by God, out of God's mouth to the church, I think we are the ones that know what it's like to have the church that was could no longer be found. It was gone. We know what it was like to keep the Sabbaths and the holy days, searching for those of like minds, not knowing who could be trusted, It certainly was not the ministry at that time. So those of us, we have a little different view of thankfulness because of what we went through. I think all of us understand rejoicing in thankfulness because of when we could finally come together as one together, just a small group with like minds. There was rejoicing. I still remember those days in Canada where we could all come together as one. So it has been a bloody, bloody war. And still is. It's not over. So that's what God is telling us here in these very, very verses. That it is a bloody war. And there have been so many casualties. Sadly, there will still be more till we get to the end. There will be more that will go by the wayside. The Church of God was brought down to just a few. Just a few at the end of this age. God wrote about a remnant church that would be here at the end. And we are that church, that remnant, that God will use to bring His plan to fruition. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah, God had Isaiah write, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up the voice like a trumpet." And he had Isaiah to write, "To show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." And God has shown ourselves to ourselves like never before, brethren. God wrote through Jeremiah about a watchman. And he said, "Hearken to the sounds of the trumpet, their announcements." And we know the story of ancient Israel, how they rebelled over and over. But now you and me are at the end of this age. We have to listen to the trumpets and their announcements. Ezekiel spoke about a watchman in his message. And just as in Ezekiel's time, we have a watchman at the end of this age. God has sent His apostle at the end of this age with His message and His announcements to this church. Ezekiel wrote that when the watchman sees the sword coming upon the land, Ezekiel said, let's notice, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. That's what he does. Then whoever hears the sound, the announcement of the trumpet, and does not take warning. So this message, this announcement is very much for our time. If the sword comes and takes him away, the blood will be upon his own head. That's what was written. If he or she heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning, their blood will be upon themselves. But he who takes warning will save their life. So this is written very much for you and me, whom the end of the age has come. God has sent His watchman in His message to this remnant church to warn God's people. And we hear the message to God's remnant church, Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. And the trumpets, all those announcements from the trumpets, we know that all of those trumpets have been blown. And we are just waiting on the effects to take place. And all of them, all of those trumpets lead up to the trumpets in the book of Revelation. Matthew wrote, we don't have to turn there, but Matthew wrote that he will send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's what God says in his book. And then 1 Corinthians tells us, Paul tells us, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, the dead in Christ will hear that sound, the sound of that trumpet, and they will be changed into spirit. They will now be in the God family. They will have become Elohim when that trumpet wakes them up. God tells you and me to prepare ourselves for God's Son that is coming back to this earth. That's what this remnant church is about, preparing for God's Son. The seventh trumpet begins, and Joshua the Christ and the 144,000 return on a Pentecost. And they will set foot upon the Mount of Olives. And then the millennium will begin with a 1,000-year reign of Joshua the Christ and the 144,000. And then on into the 100-year period. The finalization of that third woe will bring judgment upon mankind. The lake of fire and all that have refused God's offer will partake of that destruction of life. And it says it will be as the sands of the sea, so many. Satan, the god of this world, will finally be destroyed. He will be no more. I think we can actually say that he has really underestimated the power of the great God of this universe. God's family of Elohim will have peace for an eternity. No more pain, no more suffering, just peace forever. As God's plan really begins now that peace has been established. We know that God is a creating God. And now that all that is out there in outer space, everything that we can see through those telescopes that man has created, man has just created one that is 100 times more powerful than the last telescope. It's called the James Webb Telescope. Man has developed some awesome things through the technology that God has let him have. David did not have access to those telescopes that we have. He could only see what his physical eyes could see. But now you and me have these telescopes. And we can see what is so massive out there. And I've looked at some of those pictures from that James Webb Telescope. Your mind cannot comprehend what is out there, brethren. David wrote, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Now, David and all that will be in God's family can begin to see what God has in plan for those that will be there. After all of the trumpets and their events have taken place, now, all that we can see through those telescopes that is out there in outer space, all of it is out there for a reason. All that will be in the God family, all that have become Elohim, can now see the creation that God will now begin of all those planets and stars that are out there. And now, brethren, the important part, it will now begin in peace for an eternity.